Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining me tonight for a special 2021 preseason episode of The Standoff with Brad here on New Zealand Sport Radio. It's really great. It seems like forever since I've done one of these shows, and I really can't wait till the 2021 season kicks off. Now, while we're live here at 8 p.m., you can also catch us on our show, on our podcast on iHeartRadio at your convenience. Just remember to search for New Zealand Sport Radio. Tonight's show is going to be a little bit different with the NRL still stuck in the preseason stage. So tonight I'm going to be discussing the stories of the preseason, news on recent club signings, a report on any major injuries affecting clubs. We'll stop for a bit of a question bag with questions you guys send through, a preview of the games being played this weekend, and then I'm going to end the show with a quick rundown of next week's special episode. So tune in and get your rugby league news. And remember to send through comments and questions throughout the show for my question section. Into the top stories of the preseason. I think basically the biggest news in this country has been the news about Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. He's going to be leaving the Warriors at the end of the season. It's been confirmed now that he's signed a deal with the Blues and New Zealand Rugby Union. His overall goal is to aim for All Blacks jersey in time for the World Cup. I guess my thoughts on it, thank you for joining me, Paul. They actually here as the rugby union guru that I've got on me with me right now.
Including Blues jersey.
First things first. Yeah. So I guess first things first, from you on the union side of things, do you think he'll make it? Do you think he'll be in the World Cup squad?
Look, I think it's a bit of an ask. I think he's coming over a bit late for the Rugby World Cup, in all honesty. He'll have a, depending on when he comes over, what he'll have maybe a minor 10 cup season, two minor 10 cup seasons, minor 10 cup season, Super Rugby season, some international games, then another Super Rugby season, and then the Rugby World Cup. If you think Sonny Bill Williams did 2 years with Toulon before coming over and doing a couple of years in Super Rugby before making it before the Rugby World Cup, think he's cutting it fine from that point of view. Obviously, he's going to the Blues. I mean, that worked well for Benji Marshall last time around, but I think this is a different player. Do I think he'll be decent? Absolutely. Do I think he's also heading into what is a... whilst the All Blacks aren't perhaps performing as good as they have done, there's a lot of talent and young talent around in the centres and the outside backs at the moment. So it's not like they're going, who do we select? Help, let's bring him in. A, there's lots of talent. B, there's also, I think he's left it. Well, he could have done with another year or two, probably 2 years, to be honest, ahead of the Rugby World Cup.
Yeah, I think there's no denying that he's a talent. It's just how will he get in to that squad when it's so stacked? I know they've been talking rumours about him being a centre. There's still quite a few good centres out there, so it'll be interesting. I wish him the best. It'll be great to see him do well. I do like that there's a little bit of a clause in the contract that if it doesn't work out and he comes back to the NRL, he has to come back to the Warriors, so we won't see him play a season for Auckland in the ITN Cup and then go, no, this isn't for me, and then end up at the Roosters or something like that. So, I guess it's just watching the space and see what happens with him there. On the other side of it, it's what will the Warriors do? There was a bit of breaking news a little bit today, which I'll cover in our a little bit later in the section. But there's a lot of money the Warriors have freed up now, and they will be looking on the outer for talent to bring in. So there's quite a few names have been thrown around. Basically, anyone that's off contract has had the Warriors tagged along them due to the amount of money they got left over. So it's time will tell. I think it sounds like they've basically got the man they want, which I'm going to cover in a couple of minutes. But
I guess, but do you want them to go out shopping or do you want them to build internally? That's the question there.
Yeah, with the signing that they're rumored to be trying to get, I think it's going to be a bit of both. They're getting a player that's not really going to fill the fullback spot, so I would like them to stay internal for fullback and grab a player with a good talent base in another position. So I want a bit of a mix of both. We've got a lot of young guys that are next in line for fullback, so now that we know he's going, I think it's the best time to kind of blood them this year and try to get them up to state, because you don't really want them sitting on the pine all year while he plays and then throw them in the deep end next year. So another part I think we could discuss is how it's going to affect the Warriors' campaign this year. So obviously your captain, and we talked a lot last year about how he really kind of kept them together in Australia. We had all the stories about him being away from his family and refusing to go home when he got injured because he wanted to stay with the team. He's the captain, obviously, but he's such an integral part of that leadership there. I'm hoping, as an Optimus Warriors fan, that they know he's going and they're going to do 110% to try to send him out on a high. But there's also that pessimist inside of me that thinks that it could be the final straw and they might derail if they have a few bad performances. So I want to err on the side of positivity and hope that it's they're going to give him a fitting farewell.
It's going to be difficult to say whether it's that or not, though, because obviously you've got the new coach in there as well. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts. Yeah. It's hard. It's not really a building program on last year, is it, for the Warriors?
No, it's not. And before we move on from the Roger talk, there was a conversation being had in my house about an hour ago about Roger's going. He's the captain, obviously. Who will the captain be next year? For me, I would pick Tohu Harris, but Tohu Harris is off contract this year as well, and we haven't really heard any news on how close he is to signing with the club again. So there's a chance that the Warriors could come out next year without Roger and Tohu. So I want to throw a curveball in there and say if Tohu's gone, I'd give it to Jas Tavanga. He's kind of the enforcer, that they like to say. But I think with everyone they got there, I think he's someone that could really build as a captain. And there's been a few captains around that haven't been the most likely candidates, but that kind of that rough exterior and tough and follow me boys thing has worked well for a lot of teams.
Yeah, I guess it'd be interesting to see who gets the vice captaincy, or yeah, who comes for Roger when he has a weekend off. Being rested.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll put Roger to the back of our minds for a little bit, and we'll still continue. I've got quite a bit of Warriors news, obviously, but a bit of a controversial topic. The Warriors denied players for this weekend's All-Star game. They denied Tohu Harris, Cody Nikorima, and Chanel Harris-Tavita from going and joining the squad. It's been a bit tough. Which side? A lot of people are very against it, saying that they need to send their players to this game because it's such an important game for the Indigenous and for the Māori players. But there's also, it's a short preseason, and those three players are very integral for the Warriors wanting to do well. So I can see the Warriors' point of view not wanting to risk such integral players there. You could even have a chance where you lose both your starting halves in that game to injury. It's not always likely, but with the rate, we'll get into it in my injury section, the rate of injuries we've got already, it could be a wise move to kick them out. Like to know your guys' thoughts on, do you think it was a good idea to keep them out of the game, or to wrap them up a little bit and make sure they get a good preseason?
I guess it's one of these things that, in union, you'd say, look, if you're going to be playing for the Maori All Blacks, you go ahead, you go over there. But international is clearly the main shop, the main thing. And then after that is other stuff, a very distant second. Whereas in league, it's a different ballgame, isn't it? It's NRL is really the for the Warriors anyway, is the number one thing. Some of the Australian players, obviously, that state of origin, they would say is more important. But apart from that, otherwise, international and representative rugby league isn't the same level isn't the same importance, sorry, rather than level that gets right in league as in union. I get it why they would stay with the club.
I think the importance of it kind of shows in the fact that it's thrown in a couple of weeks before the season starts as like a preseason game. So if it was as important as they want, it would be a end of the year thing, just like they do with internationals. I think personally, I would prefer it at the end of the year when you've got all the players have played a season and they're all ready to go. At the moment, they're all still just getting back into the grind of actually running around and hitting each other. So that's when the injuries occur. So I would prefer, I think that's why the nines are such a good thing in the preseason, because it's not as strenuous and it's a bit of fun and excitement to get people back into the swing of things. But the All-Star game is an exciting game to watch, but I would rather the Warriors win a premiership than have those three guys play well in the game.
It's more of an exhibition thing, isn't it, rather than a really rather than a proper contested with the way that it's
played.
It feels a bit like tokenism to a certain degree. And you say put it at the end of the season, or put it as a maybe use it in that in the Origin block and have a three match series then, and stand down more teams, give more teams a break, and have it in that slot. Obviously, on the Australian side, if you get picked for Origin, that comes first, and then the Indigenous side would come second. But at the moment, I don't think it's got the importance it deserves, really.
Yeah, I do. Like Simon said, I like the concept as well. Before, it was just an Indigenous team would play an All-Stars NRL team where it was one player from each NRL club. But then when they brought it in where it was Indigenous versus the Māori All-Stars, I think it made it a bit more interesting. And, I don't want to ever see it go, but I can understand teams, especially with this short preseason. Normally you get three trial games. You're getting one this year. Putting the actual competition before the exhibition match. But I don't ever want to see the exhibition match go away. I just like it to get a bit more love from the NRL and maybe a bit more of a higher profile. And on that, though, still, the Warriors did allow some players to play in the All-Star game. We've got Jermaine Tanoa-Brown and Josh Curran have been selected in the Indigenous All-Stars team. And it's great to see them there. They were both in the team last year. The only thing I see about that is maybe they aren't as certain to make the 17 when it comes to round one, if the Warriors are willing to let them out. So, but I'm sure they'll give it their all and definitely be pushing for a spot. So it's interesting, but it'd be great to see some Warriors out there.
As you say, with just one warm-up game, this gives them some game time as well.
Exactly. And then going into the breaking news that we had today, there's news that the Warriors have reportedly tabled an offer for 3 years on a lot of money. Over $800,000 a season for Jerome Hughes, the halfback from the Melbourne Storm. He was originally a fullback, so they could push him into that fullback spot to replace Roger, but from what I've been told, they're quite keen on, if he joins, to make him the number seven. Cody Nikurima's off contract at the end of this year, so it could mean that we see Jerome Hughes and Chanel in the halves, and if Cody sticks around, they might push him into the hooker role. I would like to see that. I think Cody's a really good hooker. So we just have to wait and see what happens there. I like the idea of Jerome Hughes coming over. I think he's really made the number seven jersey his own in Melbourne and has shown that he is actually quite capable of leading a side around which I think is something that Chanel Harris-Tavita really needs in a halves partner, someone that can just take control of the game, allow him to loosen up a little bit and play a bit more of the loosey-goosey game that we've seen him be able to do before. I think giving him the reins and telling him he has to control the team kind of restricts some of his attacking flair a little bit. So if we could get them together and sign them up, I think it could be interesting for the Warriors' backline. And then more Warriors news, because I know you all love it. The Warriors actually launched a Facebook page this preseason called On the Road with the Vodafone Warriors. Basically what it is Cameron George, the CEO, who we had on our last show, running around the trainings and just using GoPro and videoing trainings, having interviews with players and staff. He put up today and yesterday, he had the NRL CEO had came down to the club and just talked to the team about thanking them for going over there again, and fingers crossed they can come home and all that stuff. So I think it's been really great. It's a good insight into how the team's going and what it's like over there for them. I think it also gives Warriors fans like myself here in New Zealand a little bit more connectivity with the club, since they've basically been over there for a year and a half and we haven't got to really see them that much. So I think it's great to see them doing it, opening it up and allowing everyone to kind of see how they're going and how they're all feeling over there. And from what I've seen, it's very positive over there, which is great, with rumors that they might be stuck there all year again. So yeah, it's just good to see a bit of behind the scenes stuff from an NRL club. Now we'll go into COVID. COVID's always great. You've got something to say there, Paul?
Yeah, it's what about going back to the Indigenous All-Star concept? What about the Oceania Cup making a comeback?
Yeah, I think an Oceania Cup would be great. And even if it's a miniaturized version that they do in the Origin period, have like Tonga, Samoa, New Zealand, Cook Islands, Papua New Guinea, all those types of teams that really, besides Tonga and New Zealand, who are kind of already on that top tier, but you give all those other teams a bit more games. Usually Samoa might get two games a year and then are expected to deliver in a World Cup against guys that have been playing, you know, four or five games a year. So I think an Oceania Cup, they've got to do something. I know the NRL, basically, their focus is the NRL, obviously. That's their brand. That's where they make their money, but they let the Origin thing in. But I think you could really build something in that time if you've got, okay, on Wednesday we've got Queensland and New South Wales, and on Friday night we've got New Zealand versus Tonga, Saturday we've got Samoa versus Fiji, and make like a whole week out of it. I think that'd be a great idea. But yeah, back to
quick mention about the expansion teams. But I think that's probably on the list for later on, isn't it? We'll get on.
It is, yeah. we'll hit that one when we get to that one. So yeah, COVID. There was a lockdown in Melbourne due to a little bit of an outbreak of cases there, and what that meant was the borders were shut, which affected two things basically. All the Melbourne players that were meant to play in the All-Stars game this weekend are not playing anymore. They've been pulled. And there was actually a miniature trial between the Warriors and the Storm this weekend that had to be cancelled as well. It's there are some little trials this week where the teams playing can only play players that have played very little games last year. So you wouldn't see for the Warriors, you wouldn't see Roger out there. You'd see guys like Bunty Afoa and Jackson Frey and other players that either played a couple of games or played no games at all. So a bit of a shame there, as we mentioned already, with the limited preseason and trials. It's a bit of a shame, but it's just the world we live in right now with COVID. And going on from that, the Warriors had started selling tickets for round five for Mount Smart, because they were hoping to be back by round five in New Zealand. And I think with the way things are going, especially in Auckland right now, where they had a little bit of an outbreak and a bit of restrictions, I think it's extremely unlikely that borders will be open by round five, if at all, by the end of the season. So I am pessimistic about the COVID situation. I envision the Warriors will spend all, if not most, of the season in Australia. So again, as a season ticket holder, it's a shame don't not get to watch any games live at Mount Smart, but I'd rather have them in Australia and playing than not playing at all. So we just got to wait and see. It's what we've been saying for a long time about COVID. You just got to wait and see what happens. And due to that cancelled trial, the Warriors are actually decided they're going to try to play two trials next weekend. So they have a match against the Titans already, but they're trying to arrange basically an identical trial to what was this week, where the guys that haven't had a lot of game time could play the Newcastle Knights New South Wales Cup. It's it's a bit of late notice, and they're trying to do so. There's nothing been confirmed, but I think it's something they really need to push for, because they want to make sure everyone in that squad at least gets a run before the season starts. You don't want anyone starting cold. On to non-Warriors stuff. Now, Paul Green's been named the Queensland coach for this year and on. There was a lot of speculation that Billy Slater was actually close to getting named the coach, but I think Paul Green's experience is probably what won him the job in the end. And I think he's really going to help Queensland in their bid for back-to-back series victories. So be interesting to see how that goes. State of Origin is going to be back in the regular time slot during the season as opposed to the end. So fingers crossed, as a Queensland supporter, that they come through and go back-to-back for me. Now, this is going on to Simon's question a bit, but Peter Volandis is setting sights on having a second team in Brisbane in 2 years' time. Now, I see, Simon, you said, which Brisbane expansion bid would you be keen on? I might be a bit biased as a Warriors fan, but I think Redcliffe Dolphins, I like their bid. They're currently partners with the Warriors at the moment, and they've kind of got everything already set up. They've got a stadium that's ready to play NRL football. They've got all the training sheds and gym equipment and everything there. They're basically an NRL team ready to go. So I think in terms of having 2 years, I want it up and running. I think they're standing a good shot of being ready, because they've basically got the platform there. So that's my take on it. Do you have anything preferred, Simon? Do you have someone else other than Redcliffe?
I'll let you know when if he replies. But there's been some sort of question mark is around the expansion. There's definitely been some people who are like, do we really be expanding? And if they are expanding, is Brisbane the right place really for it? Should they? Should we have a second team in New Zealand, for example, or should they look at trying to get a team into, say, Tonga or Fiji or Papua New Guinea?
Yeah, I would like the Warriors to get their development program that Phil Gould's working on sorted first before they brought another team here. Otherwise, I just see all the young talent magically going to Wellington, where I assume they would put the team. And so I'm looking after the Warriors first. I'm not really fazed if they're in Brisbane, but I think there's other markets they could try to go to, like an islands team, Papua New Guinea, Perth. There's a few other places that they could maybe target, but I think they're just trying to send some love to Brisbane because the Broncos look a mess right now. So maybe a new team will kind of let everyone forget about how bad the Broncos are going, and they can focus on another team. So yeah, I'm not sure.
Well, they could go the rugby union way and put a team in Japan.
Yeah. You never know. I don't know how big league is in Japan. I don't think there's a lot of followers there. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I guess they're just looking at it from possibly a money point of view. They can probably profit more out of another team in Brisbane, because Brisbane is very league heavy, as opposed to Wellington or Perth, where like Perth is kind of AFL country still. And Wellington, I think, is a great option due to a lot of the Wellingtonians kind of get out and support all the sport. So they support rugby, soccer, they support all, everything. So I think that one would be a good idea. But I suppose right now we can't even get the Warriors to play in this country.
That's true. Very true.
Oh, yeah, I see, yeah.
So Simon says, Brisbane Dolphins be okay, but my preference for the Brisbane Jets.
Yeah, Brisbane Jets could be good too. I guess it's whoever's got the best pitch, I think, is going to win it out, as most business transactions go. So, Brisbane Jets would be a good option. Redcliffe will definitely have to change their name to Brisbane. It'll be Brisbane Dolphins, I assume. But they might put a bit of a swing on it, so you don't have Brisbane Broncos, Brisbane Dolphins. They might call it something else, I'm not sure. But we've got 2 years to speculate, so we'll see what happens. On the next lot of news, the Cronulla Sharks are actually chasing Craig Bellamy, offering him a coaching director role from 2022 onwards. Obviously, it's his last year as coach of Melbourne Storm. He hasn't really said anything outright about what he's going to do next year, but he's very forthright. So I think once he's made up his mind, we're all going to know about it. But there's a bit of a three-way dance for Bellamy right now, because Melbourne want to retain him, most likely in a coaching director role as well. And the Broncos are also interested. I assume all three of them are probably going to be offering him something in that capacity, kind of as a mentor to help like the Nets coach through. Be interesting time. I think any team that could get hold of him would definitely benefit from it. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a news story coming out that all 16 teams are after him. He's that powerful of a coach, and I think anyone could learn off him. So it'd be interesting to see where he goes, but I would be going more with Brisbane, because I know that's where he's from. I think he would probably like to go home. But yeah, time will tell. If they're throwing big dollars, you wouldn't really just throw it away because you want to go to Brisbane. So it'll be interesting to see, and I'll keep an eye on it and let you guys know once we get some more developments. Got a little bit of a naughty boy corner now. Just talking about some players that have had some discretions that have resulted in them possibly missing some game time. So we had Payne Haas was fined $50,000 and banned for 3 games due to an incident where he verbally abused multiple police officers. Again, it's something NRL players always seem to find themselves in trouble, and the NRL really need to do something to crack down on some of these players. So it's good to see he's been fined and banned 3 games, and he's a young guy. I'm sure he'll learn from his mistakes, come back stronger. And on the other hand, Brent Naden from the Penrith Panthers, he tested positive for cocaine after the grand final last year. And it was a bit polarizing because the NRL kind of didn't really do anything about it. They gave him a 1 month ban, but it was a 1 month ban from then. So it was in the off season when everyone was on holiday. So it didn't really affect him. But Ivan Cleary, the Panthers coach, has actually come out and dropped Naden to reserve grade for at least the first 4 games, telling him that he has to prove himself that he's worthy of being in the first grade again. So it's actually good to see the Panthers kind of stepping up and setting an example of what teams should be doing to hold their players accountable. Slap on the wrist from the NRL won't really send the message across. So it's good to see Cleary and co kind of stepping in and going, no, this kind of needs a bit more attention. And then we've actually got the Dragons. We're looking at signing Israel Folau, but they actually backed out after severe backlash from their fan base. Folau's actually requested a meeting with the NRL to see what it's going to be. Is it actually possible that he can return to the NRL or not? The NRL actually denied his meeting request and said they won't actually meet him unless another NRL club actually formally lodges an application to sign him. If I bring you back on, Paul, with your union background, are you around the Israel Folau situation?
I'll keep it on. I think that response of "we're not meeting you" gives them a pretty good answer as to what it's going to take for him to get back in. It ain't happening. Toxic. Let's be blunt. From a sponsor's point of view, they're not. He's shown from previous that you can have an agreement with him, whether it's verbal or written. At the end of the day, it's an agreement with the person, isn't it? Around how he'll act on social media, and he'll ignore it. So put bluntly, I think NRL's the best option for him is to keep well clear. I was very surprised by the Dragons making that move.
Yeah, the Dragons have been making a lot of decisions at the moment, which have a lot of people scratching their heads. But I think I won't deny that he's a talented player. But you've got to weigh the talent with the trouble. Mm-hmm. And I think I don't think it's worth it. I don't even think if you could get him to come for the minimum amount you could sign a player, I still don't think it's worth it. I think, you don't want to lose sponsors over it. You don't want him to say, "I'm going to behave," and then he sends something out on social media and puts the whole him and the club in a negative light. So I don't see him playing the NRL ever again. I'll be surprised if we see him play Union. He won't play in the Southern Hemisphere. He'll no doubt get jobs in the Northern Hemisphere. He showed that by going to Catalans.
I think he's tried Union in Europe, and that was a big no. And that was a big no. From everyone up there. The Catalan Dragons took a punt on him. And what happened was pretty much, a couple of the British clubs or the English clubs, when the Catalan Dragons went over to play them, they decided that was their pride round. I don't need air quotes for that. They made that their pride round when he was there, which clearly shows he was not welcome in the Super League up there, really. I can't see him being very welcome.
So he might have to get back on the tools or something. He has made
plenty of money. He doesn't have to worry about what's coming from. He doesn't have to go find an apprenticeship or anything like that, does he? Let's be honest.
No, not really. So,
is go back to being a preacher, mate. That's probably what you need to be. That's you. That's your calling. You've made that clear before. You're welcome in that community.
Definitely. So, quite a lot of stories there, obviously, because it's been so long since our last show and there's everything happening. But I'll go into the signing news. I thought it was easier to break it down rather than having all the signing news and the preseason news. So, first things first, I'll go with Benji Marshall. There was a lot of talk. He didn't want to retire at the end of last year when he was with the Tigers. Tigers didn't want to keep him. We didn't really know where he was going to go. And then Wayne Bennett gave him a call.
Roger at the Blues.
No. He learned from that mistake. Wayne Bennett gave him a call and offered him a one-year deal with the South Sydney Rabbitohs. I'm not really sure what Wayne Bennett's going to be doing. With him, he's already got a good halves pairing there with Adam Reynolds and Cody Walker. But Wayne Bennett, he knows what he's doing. So I'm sure he's got a plan for the veteran. And I think it's just good to at least allow Benji to go out on his own terms rather than just being shown the door and said, "You're not welcome back." He can actually go give it a go and then decide what he wants to do. And the Rabbitohs aren't a bad team to join.
Well, I mean, they're up to the top end of the ladder for me last year. If you're looking for someone who will step in to allow your first choice guys to have a rest some weekends, and you know he's going to not drop the ball, both literally and figuratively. He's a perfect guy just to have as a experienced head around the club who can come in and see you through some games when the other guys need some rest.
Yeah, definitely. I think he'll also provide a lot of experience at training those other halves with everything he knows. So, I think it's a great signing for them, and hopefully we get to see him go out there and have a few great games. I think that is going to have to happen because he's still contracted to the Dragons, the Catalan Dragons, that is. So if another NRL did pick him up, they'd get some money back. So, that's probably another red flag for NRL clubs. They won't want to pay extra.
For those listening to the podcast, Simon Hughes has said that, from my understanding, Catalan will want a conversation if he signed for another club, obviously referring to Folau and what we were talking about before.
Yeah. And then on to Broncos news. So they've actually signed former CEO from the Storm, Dave Donaghy, from this year onwards. A good move by the club. It's no secret that the Broncos are in dire straits right now, and I think he could really help them get back towards their former glory days. He's been Storm's obviously quite a successful team, minor a few salary cap indiscretions, but it's great to see that he's got a new gig. I know the Storm were a bit unhappy that he was leaving, and I think there was even talks that there might be some legal proceedings about how the Broncos approached him. I don't have all the details on that, but I'm sure we'll get more as it gets closer to the season. But I think it's a good move for the Broncos. They're kind of at rock bottom right now. They need to do a lot to get better. They've got the new coach coming in, got a new CEO, got some player movements happening. So be interesting to see what happens there. Andrew McCulloch, speaking of the Broncos, he's actually joined the Dragons effective immediately on a 3-year deal. So he obviously wasn't happy at the club. Last year, he was loaned out to Newcastle and then got injured. So I think from what I have read, he was kind of pushing to see if they were going to extend his contract there or not. And it sounds like they weren't really interested. So he just bit the bullet and went to the Dragons. And the Broncos were happy to let him out straight away, which is a bit interesting because they don't really have a lot of depth at hooker. But good to see the Dragons get their man that they wanted, apparently. Also with the Dragons, Cameron McGinnis, who is the Dragons' captain, has signed a deal with the Sharks for 4 years. Great signing by the Sharks. He's a hell of a player, and I know from what I've read, he was a bit disheartened by the Dragons when they sacked Paul McGregor last year. He was really close to Paul as his coach, and I think them firing him was kind of like the final straw for him, and he was just looking to get out. Sharks saw a talented player and threw everything they could to get him, and they got their man. So be great to see how he goes for the Sharks next year. I think he will make that Sharks team a lot stronger, and the Dragons have lost a very talented player. Panthers co-captain Isaiah Yao was actually re-signed with the Panthers for a further 3 seasons. There were a lot of teams that were after him. He was one of their standouts last year, and they really needed to make sure he stuck around. Giving him the co-captaincy is a great little cherry on top. But, great to see him stick with the club, and I'm sure the Panthers are going to be one of those top-tier teams for a long time to come. So it's pretty wise to not jump off that ship while it's riding high. Isaac Luke signed a train and trial deal with the Broncos. With Andrew McCulloch leaving effective immediately, I think that's pretty much made sure that Isaac's going to be moved up into that top 30. Losing an experienced hooker like McCulloch, you kind of need to bring someone in like that. I know there's been rumors that the Broncos might be looking at signing Danny Levi, but I think Isaac Luke has got that experience, and I think he would be a great addition to them. So hopefully we'll see him get another deal there. And Matt Burden, the talented young half in the Panthers, has signed a deal with the Bulldogs and has actually tried to get an early release so he could go to the Bulldogs right now. Panthers have denied that request and saying, no, he's too important to the Panthers squad and he's going to see out his contract. You know, there's been a lot of Bulldogs fans that are unhappy saying that Burton probably won't even get a game this year because he's behind Nathan Cleary and Jerome Luai. But I can see the Panthers' point of view as well. They're obviously paying him, and if one of those players go down, he's right there to fill in that gap. So I can see why they want to keep him, and the Bulldogs are just going to have to be patient and wait till next year to get him. And Panthers centre Dean Fahey has been released from his contract, effective immediately, to take up a deal in the Super League with the Carolina Dragons. So, yeah, a bit of interesting. I didn't know, didn't hear any rumblings about him looking to get out. And the Panthers have got some very talented young centres there. So they've got a bit of cover and they don't really need him. So it's good to see in that circumstance. They're like, no, go now. We don't really see you in our plans for this year. So we'll just let you go. So Dragons have got themselves a very good player, and be interesting to see how he goes in the Super League, which we're obviously going to be covering once that gets back up and running every week. The Tigers and the Panthers. Panthers are loving all the player movements right now, but they've actually done a player swap this year. Panthers have traded Dane Lowry for Paul Momirisky. It's interesting, the player swaps has happened a bit more regularly now. It'd be interesting to see if it becomes a regular thing in the NRL, if teams will just trade players. Don't know how they're going to govern that with salary caps and stuff, but I think it could be interesting. There might be some teams, I think, for example, what the Warriors a few years back, they should have kept hold of him in hindsight, but Chance-Nicole Klokstad, was really an NRL first grade player, but he wasn't getting game time because Roger Tuivasa-Sheck's fullback and you're not going to take the captain spot, basically. So the Warriors let him go out of his contract and sign a deal with the Raiders. If this was a thing, you could say, well, you want to take this fullback, what are you willing to give us? And I think that could be an interesting way. There's quite a few talented players that are kind of just on the outer, and you could move things. Like right now, I think the Warriors need a hooker. We might have a guy like Lisa Narmal or something, where a team might need a prop and they've got four hookers. We could do a switch, something like that. It'd be interesting for thought. It's not really done much in the Southern Hemisphere. It's kind of an American-based style of things. But yeah, I think it could make it a bit interesting rather than just holding on to players until their contract expires, or just releasing them to someone else and not getting much back for it. Going back to the Broncos for a little bit, Katoni Staggs is one of the biggest free agents right now in the NRL, with many teams interested in signing him. We've got, he's been quoted as saying that he intends to stay in Brisbane, which I think is a big win for them. I think, personally, if it was me and I was Katoni Staggs, I'd be looking to get the first bus out of Brisbane. But he wants to stay with the club, and he obviously believes that they can get back into the top eight and be a force again. So well done him, and let's see what happens. And lastly, on the signing news, before we go on to injury news, it wouldn't be the standoff without a Cameron Smith update. So there was a bit of a social media blitz on Tuesday, because there was a picture of Cameron Smith training in the Gold Coast, firing up speculation that he was going to sign with the Gold Coast Titans. The Titans have denied that they've signed Smith. Smith, as Smith is, hasn't said a word. I'm not actually sure if he's retired or if he's going to play. I don't see him signing this close to the season starting. You kind of got a couple of weeks and then you're right back into it. So I find it highly unlikely that he's actually going to sign a deal with the Titans. But you just don't know with Cameron Smith. It's interesting. And we're just going to have to watch the space. I really hope he doesn't sign with the Titans. I think with the Warriors playing them in the first round, the last thing I want to see is Cameron Smith out there. But yeah, it's completely up to him where he goes. So if he decides he wants to sign at the last minute, I'm sure he's going to. And I'm sure any team would take him on a deal if he was like, I want to play for you. So yeah, we're just going to have to wait and see. So that's all I had for signing news. So we'll go into injury news. There's been quite a few injuries this offseason. So I've gone through and I've picked out the long-term injuries or injuries that I think are going to impact the teams the most. And then I broke it down into the teams to make it a bit easier for myself. So we'll go with the Broncos first. Anthony Milford and Corey Oates should be ready for round one. They're both recovering from broken hands that they got in training. But yeah, Broncos will definitely be hoping that both of those players are ready for round one because they're very integral to the side right now. Katoni Staggs, who we just mentioned, he won't be back until round 14 due to his injured ACL. So a big loss for them. He was their strike weapon and everything. And yeah, he's basically going to miss the first three quarters of the season, which isn't ideal for any team. But yeah, we'll wait and see. Some players managed to come back a bit quicker, but we'll just see. The Canberra Raiders, they've really only got one, which is Jarrod Croker. He should be back in round three. In the offseason, he had some shoulder surgery to clean it up and get him, make sure he's 100%. And it's taken a little bit longer to recover than they anticipated, but they're confident that he won't miss too many games at the start. Sharks really only have one major injury, which is Sean Johnson. Obviously, he injured his Achilles last year, and they're penciling him in for a return between round 5 and 8. So I'm sure the Sharks will champion at the bit to get him back, because when he was playing for them before he got injured last year, that he was really making the Sharks a lot better than they probably deserved to be. Going on to the Newcastle Knights, Kalyn Ponga is pushing for a round one return from his shoulder surgery, but he may be held back to about round 4. Big loss for the Knights, but if he's already to get back for round 1, he must be champing at the bit. So we'll just watch what happens there. And still with the Knights, Blake Green, he is still coming back from his knee injury, and they've penciled him in for around 5 return. Might be his last year in the NRL. He's getting a bit long in the tooth, so I'm sure he'll want to make it a good one, and hopefully we'll see him come back sooner rather than later. On to the Eels. They only have one. It's not too bad. It's Bryce Cartwright. He broke his jaw at training, and is they're only anticipating him to miss probably the first month of the season. I'm not really sure where he was going to fit in the squad anyway, so he potentially might not have even made the 17, so it might not be that much of an accident for the Eels, but yeah, time will tell. On to the Dragons. Cameron McInnes, who we just talked about end of the year and going at the Sharks, he's actually out for the season. He injured his ACL at training. This one's a bit sad, I think. It would have been good to see him finish his time at the Dragons actually on the field. But on the positive note for Sharks fans, it means he's got a whole year to recover and get himself to 100% before the season starts up next year. Moving on to the Roosters, we talked about him a lot last year with his injuries. But Boyd Cordner is going, as he continues to recover from his repeated head knocks that he got last year. There's been a lot of talk from everyone saying that, including myself, that he should probably call it a day and retire, because his well-being is a bit more important than playing for the Roosters. But that he's fine. The doctors that the Roosters have got in have said he can still go on. We just want to take some precautions right now. For the Roosters, they've actually applied for a $350,000 salary cap relief from the NRL due to him being out. The NRL haven't responded yet. It might sound a bit harsh, but I think they're laughing trying to ask for that. There's teams that miss players for season injuries. Look at the Dragons with Cameron McInnes. He is right now their most integral player to everything they've got. besides the fact they're letting him sign with another club, but they're not asking for money. And he's probably one of their top paid players there as well. The Warriors last year had about four or five players out for the season before the season started. Middle East, we had a bit of help with loan players, but that was due to us being stuck in Australia. So, yeah, I don't see the NRL giving them any salary cap relief. Plus, you've got the cliche jokes about the Roosters having no salary cap to begin with anyway. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens there. But I think Boyd needs to think about his life after football and maybe seriously consider just calling it a day. On to Warriors again. Really, there's a few niggles, but Carl Lawton injured his Achilles in a training session, and he is out for the majority of the season. They say he might be back in the later stages. It's a huge issue for the Warriors, I believe. I've talked about the Warriors' weakness as their hookers, and right now they've basically got one in Wade Egan. So if Wade Egan goes down, they're going to have to kind of bring in a non-hooker player to play hooker, which isn't really great for your campaign, especially if Wade gets injured early on. Fingers crossed, but hopefully Lawton gets back sooner than the end of the year. Hopefully, like mid-season, he might be ready to go because he actually played quite well for the Warriors last year, and I was excited to see how he was going to go. And just recently, on Tuesday, Ali Katoa, he fractured his eye socket at training this week. And there's some talk that he might be back for round one. He's pushing to be back and ready for round one, but I think it might be a couple of weeks before we see him. Shame to see him go out because he had such a breakout year last year. And I think rolling, but hopefully this little hiccup doesn't affect him too much and we see him back soon. And then not NRL related, but I'm going to the Wigan Warriors. They've actually released George Burgess from his current contract because he needs hip surgery, and the recovery time from the hip surgery is very lengthy. So they deemed it was easier just to release him rather than keep him on contract and under the cap while he can't play for quite a while. So a bit sad for him to end his little return to Wigan like that, but hopefully everything goes well, and once he's fully recovered, he signs back with the club and gets to play again. So that's really all we had for injuries. There was a few other little ones, but that was it. So this is around the time that I do my questions. Do we have any questions, Paul?
I think we've done most of them through, as we've gone through. Simon points out that the Super League is going to start on the 25th of March. COVID dependent, obviously.
So that's cool. Yeah, one, fingers crossed it starts then, and then we can start pulling that into the show each week as well. So fingers crossed, but yeah, with COVID we just never know.
Absolutely. It's and you kind of say even here it's been an issue with kind of, we've seen obviously the Blues cancel their game this weekend, and it wasn't until 5 o'clock today, I knew whether I was going to the jet sprint races this weekend. So yeah, it's all been a bit everything's COVID dependent there. But yeah, 25th of March, folks, for the Super League. I mean, obviously Simon, yeah, Cameron Smith, yeah, to retire or play for another year. Yeah, obviously we've gone over that one already. Yeah, so I think we've covered most of the stuff that's been in there.
All good. Then I'll just jump straight into the All-Stars Clash preview. So, obviously, we talked at length about it at the start, but on Saturday night, 10 past 10 p.m. New Zealand time, they're playing in Townsville. Due to the COVID restrictions with Melbourne, 7 new players had to be brought into the match at last minute. Only one was for the Indigenous side, which was Corey Thompson, and then Russell Packer, Sun Masters, Dejan Arce, Emery Puri, sorry if I'm ballsing up the names, Isaac Luke and Jackson Tapini joining the Māori side. Māoris will obviously want to go back-to-back. They were quite dominant last year, winning 30-16 in a game that they were basically underdogs. A lot of people said there was too much power in the Indigenous team for them. Latrell Mitchell is returning in the game. It's his first match since he injured his hamstring August last year. He's very proud of his Indigenous roots, so I always knew if he was healthy, he was going to be playing in this game. He's very proud. And, yeah, great to see him back after such a long stint. It's also going to be the first Māori All-Stars game for Benji Marshall. He's been named at halfback. And it's also a chance for him to play with his little brother, Jeremy Marshall King. So great to see him get out there and play. I know there was a lot of talk when he came back to the Kiwis, the pride he showed. And I'm sure you're going to see the same level of pride from him in this game. And getting to play with his little brother, I think is going to be great for him. Guys, really, they're packed with talent. Even with those seven players that had to be omitted from the game, there's still plenty of talent there. And I think it's going to be a hell of a game to watch. Mentioned it before that I don't think it gets the love it deserves from the NRL, but on the opposite side of that, it is also a fantastic way to kick off the season. I'm really looking forward to actually getting to watch Game of League again this weekend. And there were two other games, season games. The Eels versus the Dragons are actually playing tomorrow, and the Tigers and the Roosters are playing in the weekend. Similar to what I said about the Warriors trial that was meant to happen this weekend, both games are going to be played with players that only played 12 games or less last year. So it's really more like play maybe players injured for a bit of the time last year. So, I think those games will be interesting for the fans of those teams to watch, just to see the young up-and-comers. So that's it really for the preseason games. So I'll get into next week's show. So next week's show is another special episode. A few weeks ago on my website, Brad's Ramblings, I wrote two articles about the five Warriors that I think are going to stand out this year, and also the five players that I think need to improve the most this year. So next week's show is really going to be a discussion piece about that, those topics, talking about my Warriors choices, as well as picking NRL players, so like five NRL players from other clubs that are going to stand out, and five players that really need to improve. We're also going to have a special guest with me next week, Shane, to discuss the topic. Paul, would you like to give us a little bit of insight on Shane?
Yeah, so Shane is someone who's been on the program before. And hey, folks, just give you a quick behind the scenes view as to what it looks like here in my kind of garage come studio. So Shane, people who have followed Driving Maul show will know that he did our Super Rugby previews last year. So he's been around on the New Zealand Sports Radio for a couple of years now as a guest. He also lives in Tamworth, which is where obviously the Warriors had spent some time last year. He helps run one of the rugby league clubs within Tamworth. So, yes, so guys, some of you might know him as a union guy, but actually he watches as much, if not more, league. So it'd be great to have him on. Obviously, not a Warriors fan, but it'd be a bit of an interesting one asking him for the five standout Warriors, but maybe he'll pop in with some players from overall as well.
Yeah.
It'd be good to have him on.
I think I'll let him off the hook and let him pick players from either the club he follows or other NRL clubs. I know I wouldn't want to sit there talking about all the Roosters players that I think are going to play well. So,
players on your side, but envious of their squad. But it'd be good on next week, and obviously these two warm up, kind of a bit like pre-season friendlies that we've had in the NRL. These are the Brad's pre-season warm-up matches or warm-up shows to get him in the groove. The real
getting
season.
Me used to looking at a camera. Getting me back into looking at a camera again. And our official season will kick off on the 3rd of March. That's when we'll actually start the standoff back for season two. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to that show next week. I think it'll be great just to sit here and chat about the players and not be bogged down by all the news or any drama. Just talking about players that we think will be well or players we think are on the chopping block.
Obviously, if there's a big breaking news in the next week,
yeah,
Cameron Smith signs,
of course, yeah,
you might have to mention it.
Yeah, definitely. If there's any big breaking news, we're of course going to cover it. But yeah, to everyone watching as well, if you've got players you want discussed in either type of the options, either let us know here or let us know live on the show next week. And yeah, it'd be great to have a great discussion about it. So that's about it for tonight. So thank you all for tuning in and joining us on New Zealand Sport Radio's show, The Standoff with Brad, for your weekly update on rugby league. Tune into the podcast on iHeartRadio or Facebook. Just remember to search for New Zealand Sport Radio. Thank you for joining me tonight too, Paul. And
pleasure
bring on the season.